Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Good evening and welcome to the Signs of Life Medium Insight Show, sponsored by the Forever Family Foundation. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and each month I have the pleasure of interviewing the elite group of Forever Family Foundation certified mediums about a variety of topics. They answer these questions amazingly, which most of us, you know, we seek answers to. Tonight's guest is Heidi Jaffe. And if you would like to call in and speak with Heidi, your questions are welcome. But please bear in mind that this is a learning forum tonight, and that the Heidi will not be answering or conducting any readings. Okay, this is for information purposes only. The number to call in is 888-627-6008. And just to give you a little intro about Heidi, she is an exceptional psychic medium. As I said before, certified by Forever Family Foundation, who practices in Orlando, Florida. She's been aware of spirits around her since about the age of 8 when she was communicating with her deceased grandmother. She initially suppressed this ability, not understanding what was happening, but later in life, she embraced it as her true gift. She quickly developed a large following due to her evidential readings, and today she does readings in person, over the phone, Skype, all over the world. Her website is Heidi the Medium, no spaces, HeidiTheMedium.com. And we're going to kick off tonight's topic. We'll start it off by discussing how we deal with negative energy, and this pertains to the spiritual world. So, welcome to the show, Heidi.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it really is a profound pleasure to have you aboard with us tonight. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. I'm excited to talk about all the fun stuff we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you guys survived the storm, Hurricane Michael. It passed by.
Yes.
You? Not too much damage?
Yes, yes. So luckily, being where I am down in Orlando, we just got some side rain, but I am hoping and praying for everybody that has been through it and is dealing with all the devastation there now up in the northern parts of Florida and going into the Carolinas there.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm going to be off to New Orleans in a couple of weeks. So, I mean, this is prime season for those kind of phenomena to occur. So I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to it. Hopefully.
Yeah, I know. Dallas is one of my favorite cities in the world, so I'm jealous.
Well, we'll see how it goes, you know. But anyways, hey, how long have you been doing readings professionally?
It's been over, 6 or 7 years doing it full. I would say full time.
I've done
over 6,000 readings.
Wow.
At this point, when I opened my office, it all kind of it catapulted, into kind of full time, and waiting list very quickly. I was very fortunate like that. I've had it for quite a long time, but that's when I really, took it on, full time and
right.
Was like, okay, this is what I'm doing 5 days a week, every single hour of my day that I can actually do it.
Right. And what is, it takes a lot of energy to do that. How many readings a day do you typically?
In a perfect world, I would love to only do 4.
Mm-hmm.
I usually end up doing about 5 a day. Occasionally I may do a 6th one if it's just like a 15-minute, but I don't feel like it's really possible to truly be utilizing your gift and being, as accurate as possible doing more than that because the amount of energy it takes. That is my personal opinion on it. But I feel like, 4 to 5 is a reasonable and good place, mm-hmm. at least for me energetically, where I feel like I can be my best for every single person, that I'm not wearing myself out. I learned that the hard way a long time ago of what my limit was, and I stay to that.
And do you, is there a style that you prefer? Like, do you prefer, like, in person or over Skype or over the phone?
Sure. I actually don't care.
Okay.
They're the same to me no matter what. You know, yesterday morning my first one was in Bahrain and my second one was in Dubai. That was my Wednesday morning. It literally makes no difference. And it honestly, sometimes it depends on my energy, you know, because sometimes we're tired, you know, just because we didn't sleep well, or maybe we had stuff going on with our kids or our other stuff with work or whatever. And sometimes I find actually that I prefer phone readings, and sometimes I prefer in person. It really just depends on the day. But as far as the legitimacy and the accuracy, it literally makes zero difference to me whatsoever.
Now, do you practice when you work? Do you work from your own home, or do you have a separate office that you go to?
No, I do. I do have an office in downtown Orlando, and I've had that office for over 6 years now, in downtown Orlando. So I do practice from there. I also fly to Los Angeles a couple times to do readings there because I have a lot of clients in Los Angeles. I'm actually looking to book New York in the next coming months. As well, because I have a lot of clients there. And then, you know, the rest I do from, you know, Skype or phone from my office downtown in downtown Orlando.
You know, I forgot to mention, you're going to be one of the mediums that are going to be at the Forever Family Foundation convention.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. That's only, what, I think a little bit, about 3 to 4 weeks away.
I believe it's from the 9th of November to the 11th of November.
Yes, and I will be there. I'm very excited.
And for you callers that are not registered yet, that want to register, I'm about to give away a secret code so you guys can save $75 off the registration. And the secret code is, drumroll please, it's Heidi75. That's H-E-I-D-I, capital H, and then no space, 75. Okay, so I just wanted to mention that to our wonderful callers so they can take advantage and have $75 in their pocket, which is great.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, somebody do it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I've been to some of these conventions in the past, and they're just wonderful. They're just great. It's perfect, especially for, you know, for people that are, you know, grieving or missing relatives. I mean, that's the main reason most people go, is to get back in touch with the
party. Yeah, and I will tell you, many of my clients have told me that they have signed up for this. I'm going to actually have a lot of familiar faces there.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you're the one that's drawing them in. I mean, for sure.
Well, probably for the Florida side, you know, that would make sense. You
know,
because I have been doing a lot of promotion on my Facebook and whatnot, and I obviously have a huge following in Florida. So I know I do have a lot of people coming, so I'm excited to see them and hoping they bring some other friends and family, if any of you guys are listening out there.
More the merrier. Absolutely. But I think there's also a limit in terms of what they can hold. I think there's, you know, and these things usually fill up quite nicely and quite quickly. So,
yeah.
So callers, please take advantage of the code. Sign up quick, and we'll see you on the 9th to the 11th of November. Great. So our topic that we're going to start off with is negative energy. Negative spiritual energy, to be more precise. But we can make it more broad if you want. But how would you say that you best deal with, like, negative spirits or whatever? Let's start off with that.
Sure. Well, I'll just start out with, in just in the beginning, just kind of start from ground zero.
Okay.
In my day, I always essentially put a white light around me to protect me from any negative or bad spirits in my day.
Right.
Because the truth is, I am going to come across, you know, some quote-unquote bad spirits, not in the sense of, you know, something demonic or anything crazy like that. But look, some people have some family members that are not so nice, you know, and they're technically kind of a negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I do protect myself and only allow good in, for lack of a better way to say it. And when I do deal with, you know, a negative energy, whether it's, you know, with a spirit who's, you know, is someone's loved one, or, you know, just feeling another energy in general, I really kind of essentially just put a block up. And I will tell you, I used to keep, you know, either a black obsidian or a black tourmaline with me. Though I believe things have as much power as you actually give them, you know,
right.
I do believe there's certain properties that really, stay true to, you know, certain crystals and whatnot. And as I said, you know, I believe they have as much power, but I do also know they have properties. And so sometimes I'll even just, you know, put that under my leg, because though I don't think that thing is actually doing anything, it does, you know, give me the feeling of being protected and also keeping my energy up a little bit more to block those out. And so
and
I just allow them.
And you can focus more on the positive energy that way.
Exactly. And, you know, I take it all with a grain of salt, but, you know, with the negative energies, you know, I keep a strong barrier and I kind of keep it on an informational, you know, I once had a father energy come forward. He was a very nasty man. You know, as you know, when we do readings, we have a lot of families who love each other. And we also have a lot of, you know, broken families, you know, that come in. Every reading is different. And I actually did have a man who was actually a very nasty man. And he literally was flicking cigarettes at me.
No kidding.
You know? No, I couldn't even make that up if I tried. But my client was like, that is him, you know. And you know, she's and she was like, and she got like upset as to like, you know, that he was doing this. I said, it's okay, because he's just letting me know his personality. It doesn't affect me, because I don't give any spirit power, nor do they have power over me. And I've always, you know, believed that and stand by that. So I don't even create a place where somebody could affect me more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and what you just said, you can infer something very important from what you just said, is that, you know, this man flicking cigarettes at you, that just goes to show that, you know, when you transition and when you cross over, you're not going to become instantly a good person, you know?
No.
You retain your personality pretty much.
Absolutely. And I tell people when they come in, when I start a reading, they say, look, your loved ones are going to come in the way they were. So if they're nice, they come in nice. If they're mean, they come in mean. They don't manage to become warm and fuzzy when they cross over. Now, I will see that some spirits do work and that they do change. You know, they do want to make amends. But I will see if a spirit like, this person would never apologize if they were here and this is very hard for them to do, you know, or if they were negative or abusive. I mean, that's kind of the reality of it. But you know, I really just don't allow them to get under my skin. I let it roll off, you know, that it's not personal to me. They're just letting me know their personality and I get it, you know, and I keep a very strong wall around me. And I do this every single morning, you know, as long as I've done this, as many reads I do, I always take the same, you know, maybe 5 to 7 minutes every single morning. I put that barrier around me and then I move forward.
Do you have a particular ritual or a particular saying that you actually
Yeah, I do actually. I've been listening to the same song for a few minutes every morning for gosh knows how many years. I know I probably don't even need it anymore, but it just makes me feel better and it puts me in that space. And, you know, I just have a little saying to myself to, you know, protect me from any bad or negative energies and, you know, to help me deliver the messages that people need to know. And that also, quite honestly, that I always begin every day as a beginner so that I'm always learning and giving the messages I need to give, learning the lessons I need to learn and giving the messages I need to give. And so I come from it from a very kind of soft learning and protective space every morning.
Now, how do you perceive these spirits? Are you clairaudient, clairsentient, clairvoyant?
Oh, it's all of it. It's all of it.
Combined, okay.
Yeah.
I always ask that question because it, to me, it's fascinating. And,
sure. Well, for me, when I first link in, and we all work a little bit different, I always feel like there's no right way or wrong way. Like when I teach students, I say, look, this is how I work, and I want to help you with structure, but like I want you to be the best at how you do it. So I want to help you form your way, you know, because I don't think there's just one way. But for me, I very much, when I start, I will purvey the room and see who I have, and I will let everybody know who I have. Okay, I've got your mom, your grandmother from your mom's side. You know, you've got somebody on your spouse's side. You've got a child. I ask them all to stand in different parts of the room and in specific places so that I know who is there, and then I take it from there.
Oh, it makes it easier to separate, I guess, when they're...
Yeah, I always look to see how many people are in the room, and then I see who pulls me in first. So I work. I think I work a little different than at least many people I know, where they just kind of say, "Oh, I've got a one spirit." I literally will look through and see how many people I can see that this person has crossed over, and establish every single one.
I see. Now, also, I've heard that, you know, to deal with some negative energy, you can cleanse the room. Some people use sage and candles and all that kind of stuff. What do you think about that?
Sure, yeah. I truly believe that you should use whatever you feel works for you. I used to be a big believer in sage because I figured it had been around for so long and that I do think it has great properties to help cleanse the space. I have learned for myself over time that I don't need the sage anymore, that I can cleanse it with my own energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something I've developed on my own. And so that's how I'll clear it. But also just as simple as sometimes playing music in the room or just literally opening the windows and the doors just to release it all. on a simple level. I don't think there necessarily has to be a big ritual all the time. Sometimes it can be just simple as literally just getting the air through to literally just clear it out. And that's what I will do if I have, you know, a very negative reading or a negative client or a negative energy in the room. You know, that's what I will do.
I see. On your, I visited your website, and one of the suggestions that you had marked on your website is, you know, to wait a little bit of time. I think it's 3 months you suggested after the passing of a loved one before doing a reading. Is that to deal with, you know, to kind of help get rid of some of the negative energy or some of the negative?
I know everybody says you should wait 3 months, but if you notice, if you have a chance to look back, I also do say I believe it's whenever you're ready. Because I will tell you, in my experience, and this is my own personal opinion, I don't necessarily believe it's for everybody.
Of course.
You know, you're supposed to wait for 3 months, quote unquote, they say, whatever that means. Because of the grieving process, that people may not be ready to receive a message. I don't think that's actually true. I do believe that's really good for certain people, but I've also found, you know, because I don't know who's coming to my office, I can't screen them. They just make an appointment. So I don't know if they've lost somebody just recently. You know, maybe it was a week ago, maybe it was 15 years ago. But some people I feel actually, you know, I've done lots of readings within 24 hours of somebody passing or even within a week, and I actually find that spirits are quite strong the first week or two that they have crossed over. And now, I don't think that is for everybody. I believe it is a personal one-on-one, case-by-case thing, because some people may never be ready to have a reading. So I have read people that they lost somebody 10 years ago, but judging from them, you know, I could say, oh my God, they must have lost this person a few months ago because they never got past a certain stage because it's still like yesterday to them. There's other people that I find that having a reading within a couple weeks or a month or two is actually more healing for them because of the way they deal with grief, because it's that like knowing, just having that extra clarification and validation, like, yes, this was the right thing. And that makes them actually heal faster as opposed to just waiting. I really believe that's a case by case, and it's a hard thing just to make really black and white, in my opinion.
So if I understand you correctly, it's actually how people deal with their grief and where they reside in their level of grief that will affect
how good the reading is. It's not how good the reading is. It's
or how well the spirits come through, I guess, is a better way to put it.
No, they're always going to come through.
Right.
But it's more when is somebody really, you know, ready? And so it's just suggested that you wait a few months so that you can get past, you know, just the beginning stages of grief, because though we want to hear from loved ones, sometimes we're not truly ready, and that can be harder than helpful.
So if you're like really in the throes of grief and extremely, you know, like
it may be harder
for the spirits to come across, correct?
No. The spirit comes across. This is client based. The spirit's always going to come forward. That's not the issue. They'll always come forward. State that somebody's in.
Okay, I learned something new today.
Well, because the spirit crosses over immediately. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've literally had people in my office within, you know, days before, and they come in as clear as day. And I find that they, in the first short period that they're gone, that I actually, with some of them, I will get even more kind of this world items than I will with somebody who's been passed for a few years. The people who've been passed for a few years, they may give a lot more in-depth, kind of emotional, deep into like really big situations in the life, in somebody's life or their life. Or, you know, the client's life, you know, their loved one who is in there with me. But the ones that passed very recently, you know, they're bringing in item after item of things because, you know, even though they're completely crossed over, those things are still fresh to them. Now, that is my personal experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know what anybody else's experience is, but that's what I seem to find. So I really like doing readings right after somebody passed because I find that they're very easy to communicate with, actually.
Wow. Very cool. So you know what? We're going to take a little bit of a break just to hear, get a word from our sponsors, and we're going to continue on this very fascinating topic. So stay tuned, everybody.
Okay.
The Camlach Center is putting birth and death back together again. aimed at changing the way we look at death. The Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back, everybody. We're speaking to Heidi Jaffe. My name's Roman Karpyshka. You're at the Medium Insight Show. We're dealing with negative energy. We're actually discussing certain things about negative energy and how it could affect readings and what can be done to eliminate it or to work against it or to help you deal with it. And we're talking about grief and the amount of time that passes after what is the ideal amount of time that passes by after somebody has transitioned and when it is best to have a reading. And Heidi has inform me very, very well that, you know, it all depends on the person, and, you know, time is really not an issue for the spirit, that they always come over, but it more depends upon the reader who has to be ready for it, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. Whew, I said that all in one breath.
I know, that was impressive. That was a really, really good summary right there. I was like, wow, that was very efficient as well.
Well, thank you very much. Hey, what would you like? You said that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you hinted at the fact that you also teach how to develop your spiritual abilities.
I do. I'm a certified master teacher of advanced psychic mediumship, actually with Lisa Williams School, and I actually just finished a intermediate advanced 3-month course, literally just like maybe 2 weeks ago. Yeah, so I had students that that did the course, with Lisa, and then myself plus many other master teachers around the world had students that we taught, and then they flew to where we were or drove, whatever it was, and then they did a 4-day workshop with us, and then they tested to certify as a psychic or medium or both.
There's a lot of people that that would like to develop their mediumship skills, but they don't have the time or the money or the inclination to do it, but they still are interested in it. So what kind of advice would you give these people, probably a lot of our listeners, just to kind of help them hone in on some of the particulars?
Right. Well, I will tell you, just on a side note, I'm actually doing a beginner psychic medium workshop, a 1-day a 1-day course on December 1st in downtown Orlando, and it's actually for beginners. You don't have to have any experience or whatnot. But just to be on your own, I mean, meditation is so key to connecting with spirit and making that time and being consistent with it. And, I will tell you, I have some people who come in to me and they're like, oh, I meditate 3 hours a day. And I look at them, I go, why would you do that? Like, what a waste of your day. If you could just take that half an hour twice a week, if you're consistent with it or whatnot, you could create a stronger connection, because you have to be committed, but I don't feel like people have to exhaust themselves in the way that they think they do, right. And the other thing is to fully trust the first thing that you get when you do any sort of spiritual work and, in meditation or whatnot, because our ego knocks it out immediately, usually, makes us think that this is our imagination or whatnot, but it's truly our first gut feeling that is usually right. We just don't trust it. And so with honing in on skills, I would say be consistent with any sort of meditation you do. Keep a notebook with you.
Consistent,
I would also,
like the same day of the week or the same time of the day?
Like, let's
that
just
kind
say,
of
you know, every Monday at 9 a.m. is a good time for you just to sit down for half an hour and just meditate. For me, I always found it very hard to sit still. And I will tell you, some of my best meditations I've ever had, the strongest connections to spirit I've ever had, have been running. I used to run a lot before I hurt my knees a bit. And just putting on music and running, because it's really just about getting your mind away from all the chitter-chatter of, I need to do the laundry, I forgot to send that email, I need to call so-and-so, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's really about just getting in that space where you're not focusing on all the crap that's going on around in your life and just being centered and asking spirit to come forward, whether it's spirit guides or possibly loved ones coming forward with you. It has to be in a place that you're comfortable. And so, many people, I find that meditation does work, and also even just having music on, I find to be helpful. I still prefer to have music on when I meditate than just being quiet. I get too antsy. My head is always just, too busy. And for me, quite honestly, doing something active is actually a really good meditation for me. I don't think that's for everybody. But I believe it's whatever works for you. And as far as connecting, I believe there's exercises you can do, to get your awareness open, whether, on a psychic side, it could be, you could do practices on your own, whether it's like, trying to guess what floor somebody's going to get off at an elevator, or which way somebody's going to turn when you're driving.
That's
helps you trust your
way.
Gut. But think about it. It helps you start trusting your gut feeling more.
Yeah. Or guess what? How about picking lotto numbers?
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I know. I've gotten that one quite a few times.
Yeah.
But with spirit, there's that intuition is your psychic side, but I do believe they go hand in hand, because it's really truly about trusting your gut feeling.
Yeah.
And a lot of us don't have the ability to work with somebody else, and so that's what I'm saying. More personal things that you can do, even, if you have a dice. And you say, okay, it's going to be 3 before you throw it, And it's not that you're not going to be right all the time. It doesn't even matter. But it's about putting that energy out there and just, trusting it. And when we do meditations, you know, I always say that it's in the quietest times that the biggest things are happening. Because I will tell you, when you're doing meditations, you may have a lot of stuff happening. You're seeing all sorts of symbols or people, and you're kind of trying to sort out everything, and you might start getting a glimpse of something being a little consistent. All of a sudden, it'll go kind of quiet for a while where you may not get anything. And I like to remind people when they're in this state, whether I'm teaching them or maybe in a session with them, stick through that, because people will get frustrated. We're in such a time of people wanting immediate gratification all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They're absolutely not willing to do the work. It's like, well, I meditated twice. Why am I not seeing my whole family? They're not talking to me.
There are so many distractions now.
Well, there's the distractions and there's the immediate gratification, and like, I want it yesterday. Nobody's willing to put in the work. But the thing is, when you're working with spirit, you have to put in the work and the time. It does take time.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was saying, in those quiet times, there may be times where you may have even a month or two where you don't feel like anything's happening, but that spirit working with you to get you into a place of transition into the next level, I have found. This is my experience, not only with myself, but with teaching or, you know, people that I have worked with.
I believe you're absolutely correct. And, you know, a case in point would be that, you know, that the heyday of spiritual mediumship was in the 1800s, started with the Fox sisters, and then right after that with all of these amazing mediums that came out. Back then, people didn't have TVs and radios and iPods and all kinds of stuff that distract them. So they sat together and they developed circles. And that's when you had amazing results. There's only a handful of people that take the time today to do that and, you know, to develop all the way to the point of having, you know, physical mediumship.
Absolutely. And to get to those points of physical mediumship, you have to be putting in those hours. Now, I'm talking about light spiritual work, you know, of connecting, which is, you know, spending half an hour three times a week, whatever. But to get into true deep spiritual work, I do believe there's much more of a commitment. That's a whole other level, Roman.
Right.
You know?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And that's why you have, you know, those great trance mediums. They would sit, you know, for hours and hours for numerous days a week. I mean, the commitment that it took and does take to get there, I don't feel a lot of people have the ability to do these days.
Right.
You know,
that's why I feel like it's
more and more rare. I love trance mediumship. I wish I had the time to be spending hours in trance work. I absolutely adore it. If I could, I would. But unfortunately, you know, I am married with two children, and I'm chauffeuring to soccer and all sorts of things in the afternoon. I don't really have that ability, at least at this little moment in my life. But I would love to see more people taking the time, and there really is such a great gratification of the connection you can have with spirit if you really do, you know, take that time.
Absolutely. That's why it's so rare today. And again, it's because there's so many alternatives now that just feed our ego, really, and that just keeps our, you know, the spiritual side of things from developing. And, you know, the materialist and science kind of, you know, they kind of go that with that as well. You know, their argument is, look at all the good things we have in life. Look at all this invention. It's all because of science, and we're just meat puppets, and spirit doesn't exist, and blah blah blah. And you know, and I think that's going to be going away. I think the trend is going away with that. I think as we are becoming more educated about everything, including sciences like quantum physics and all that kind of stuff, where it has been proven that consciousness dictates reality and not the other way around. I think we're moving towards an enlightened path as a race, but I think it's still going to take a lot of time. And that's just my
opinion. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and since we were speaking about negative energies, you know, the social media and all of that, I would consider a major negative energy in our world, and can
absolutely
be a major hindrance not only to ourselves but also especially with spiritual work. Because it just drains you and it distracts you, because you do have to be so focused with that. And so anybody who's wanting to hone in on it to get that stuff out of their life more, you know, I am not on Facebook a lot. You'll see if you see my Facebook page. You know, recently I just had a few things just because of, you know, Forever Family and I had my class. But you'll notice I don't even really post more than once every 2 or 3 months, because I try to keep myself away from it. I just want to be doing my job. I don't need to be telling everybody that I'm eating a donut at 10 a.m., you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
I hear you. No, I absolutely love that as well. I know. I'll put a picture of my I'll put a picture of my kids once in a while, maybe once every 2 months.
You know, and I got, you know, a personal page, whatever, but, you know, with my work page, though, I would love to have more spiritual stuff. I just, I'm in my office doing my work, and so I try, but my point is that I try to stay away from it because I feel like that can be negative as well, you know, just for so many various reasons.
Right, right.
Of distraction.
Now, we are in the month of October, which is Halloween month. And
yes.
I know there's a lot of media focus and general public focus on hauntings and spirits and all kinds of things that go bump in the night. There's generally a big fascination. I mean, people have a morbid fascination with the dead and with ghosts and with, you know, spirits and all that kind of thing. But I find that it's a bit of a, I don't know if it's doing any favors for the spiritual community or if it's more harm than good, because it is bringing some focus towards the spiritual community, but kind of in a wrong way, I think. What do you think?
Oh, it makes it super hokey. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, especially, you know, you have these programs like, these haunting programs where these people will go investigate the dungeons on prisons that have closed 300 years ago and all that, hospitals, and, you know, and they show them in low-light filming kind of thing, so their faces are green and their eyeballs are white, and, you know, people really get off on that. They're millions of viewers. But I think that just gives off a completely wrong picture of what spirituality is all about, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I enjoy the shows. I think they're fun to watch, but... But yeah, no, it really does. It makes it harder for us to do this as a true profession, you know, because we're always on the defensive of who we are, you know.
Right, and it's
so you're always being in a place of being challenged.
Right, and the people's expectations. Do you ever get clients that come in expecting to be, you know, poltergeist or anything, you know?
I can't even tell you how many expectations are put on. Sometimes I literally just put my head down and I'm like, this is just too much. Like, you know, I can literally name somebody's entire family by name, you know, and that they kept certain items. And they go, but could you get something a little more specific? I was like, I literally just named your entire family, like, to a T. And they got, like, and that wasn't enough. They're like, well, no, what it is. I was just wondering if there might be one other thing. And I literally shook my head. I'm like, oh, my God, you've got to be kidding me. You know, it literally makes my head want to spin.
Yeah,
but
that's because of
I'm like, you know, it's super cool what I can do, right?
You know,
I'm joking, but
tell you the truth, I was one of those people. I, you know, before I got into it and started studying it and everything, I ate up what the media fed me. You know, just. And that's just the way it is, and yet you have completely wrong expectations of what it's all about. Like, you know, the movie Ghostbusters, where they catch they had these little containers where they trap the ghost using ectoplasm finders and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. Crazy. It's, you know, right now the way I look at it is, because I know better, I look at it as fun. It's a fun thing, but, you know, that's all it is. It's fiction, you know, what they portray, as opposed to, you know, a real reading from a real medium. And believe me, I've been to good mediums and I've been to horrible mediums. And the good medium just completely convinced me that this stuff is real. Absolutely.
It should be. You know, like I tell my clients, at least 90% should make sense and be accurate at the time of the reading. There's going to be a couple things that are going to need to be validated after or haven't happened yet. And also, I may simply just get a piece of trash or two, because it's not a perfect thing, nor am I perfect. But I always tell people, but it's literally usually the weirdest things I say that make the most sense later. And I can't tell you how many emails and phone calls I've gotten over the years where the one thing people go, no, I think you're crazy. And they go, oh, my gosh, I did find that. Oh, my gosh. Or that did happen.
Oh, yeah. After the fact.
Or whatever. I get a lot of those. And so I always trust the crazy things I say, you know, to people. But I always tell people, like, you know, when you're with a medium, a big majority of it, I'm saying like 90% should make sense that you can validate at that time.
Fantastic.
That's the standard I stay at. If I'm doing less than that, then I'm disappointed in myself and I go, I can do better.
Fantastic. So you know what? We're going to take another little quick commercial break. So stand by, viewers. We are having a fascinating conversation with Heidi, and we will be back to talk more about what makes mediums tick and dealing with negative energy. So stay by, everybody. Thank you.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org Grief and Loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We're here speaking with Heidi Jaff. I'm Roman Karpyszka, and this is Medium Insights on the Forever Family Foundation's radio show that they have every Thursday. So we're having a really good time discussing topics about mediumship, and we were talking about Halloween and the spirit and the how spirit and mediumship is just not portrayed the way that it should be in the media, and how it could be harmless when it's fun and you look at it in a certain way, but it also sets up very wrong expectations on mediums.
Yeah, I will say, with some of those, quote unquote hauntings, I do believe there are some spirits that do get trapped, or that, the residual energy that is there. But, mm-hmm. I will tell you, I do a lot of house clearings as well, and, okay. People think they have a negative energy in their home, and they want me to show, come and, see what's going on. And I will tell you, more than 50% of the time, I'm like, that's not negative energy. Like, that's your grandfather who does this, this, and this,
Oh, wow.
I think sometimes people perceive things as negative energy only because it's unknown, because they're not familiar with it. They think if they hear a knocking or something, it's something haunting them. But a lot of time, it's really just our loved ones being like, hey, that's us.
Right.
Because I see those signs happen in readings all the time. I go, oh, you get something that knocks in the hallway down by the left stair or whatever. They go, yeah. And it's like, that's your dad.
That's
because
amazing.
Their dad will show me that's them,
Without revealing too much about myself, we've had, sure. stuff happen in our house as well. Lights mm-hmm. flickering on and off and everything. I know exactly who it is. So we're totally fine with it. It doesn't bother us.
A lot of people, they just get nervous of the unknown, and they just assume it's something bad, because people watch a lot of TV, and that's the perception that is out there. But a lot of the time, it actually isn't negative energy. Just because you're scared of it doesn't mean it's negative.
Right. They associate, they say that the opposite of love is fear. It's not hate, it's fear. And fear mm-hmm. is just not, it's not knowing, it's being closed off, and it's about making very wrongful assumptions about something, and that completely applies to hauntings and what might be perceived as, a bad energy when it really isn't. So I think you're right on point with that.
Yeah, and there are sometimes just bad energies. I'll go to someone's house, and I know that's either somebody who lived there or something from outside. I can walk into a house and go, where's the teenager who had the Ouija board?
Oh, really?
I'll, mom opens the door, I'm like, and I can feel the energy. I'm like, where's the Ouija board? Where's the teenager? And then there's a teenage girl, 15, peeks her head around the corner. Me, I'm like, this one's your fault, and I'll take care of it.
So you could, wow, that's amazing. So that's right on point of tonight's subject. So you can walk mm-hmm. into a house, and you can sometimes perceive some negative energy that is in the house. And what do you do to clear it out?
Well, I used to sage, a lot, I have certain prayers that I'll say and go into each room, mm-hmm. Make sure, all interior doors and drawers and et cetera are open. But I have found out of recent that I have discovered that, that I seem to be just as successful if I just use my own energy of just talking to whoever's there, and I don't think I have the power to make everybody leave. I don't think anybody truly does. It usually works. Sometimes I feel that, some spirits I don't think can be cleared, and some just may take, a couple times. I've seen it kind of go every which way.
Right.
But I think
just the knowledge of, okay, that's what this is, and once the people know mm-hmm. what that is, I think that alleviates the situation a lot.
Absolutely. I recently did a house cleaning. Obviously, I don't let anybody give me any information before I go to a home, because I don't want them to feel like they've given me anything, because also I want to go through, and then if I'm picking up certain things, it gives me such a great validation to the client that they're not crazy, that I may be experiencing the same thing they are, so they have that validation, if that makes sense,
right? Absolutely.
Let's just say they have a knocking on the pipe in the kitchen. I'm making this up, and they've never told me anything. I walk in and go, man, you always get a knocking on this pipe, huh? And they go, yes. I'm like, okay, you're not crazy, I see it too,
yeah. You know, in this day and age where everything can be Googled and everything like that, you know, a lot of people, and I'll be quite blunt and honest with what I do. If I ever go see a medium, I tell the medium, I'm going to pay you cash and I'm going to go under a false name. And I will pay you cash. I don't want you to Google my name. You Google my name, you see what happened to me. And not that they will. They won't. But, you know, it's always the what if. You know, everybody's dealing with the what if.
I agree. I even put on my website, I don't want anybody's last name, and I even tell people, I don't need your last name, and you can even pay with a prepaid credit card if you want, or do cash. You know,
right.
People make up
right.
their name all the time. I don't care. I tell them, you can call mm-hmm. yourself Tinkerbell, you can call yourself Santa. I don't care. Just get in front of me
yep.
or get on the phone with me and let me do my thing. Let me
yep.
just connect
Bring it
with
on.
You. But I always tell people, you know, like, I don't want that information from you. And I even if people email me, and sometimes people email me and give me the life story, I say, hey, I'd love to do a reading for you. But I will even tell them, make an appointment under another name so I literally don't have any recollection of this so that I know I get clear information
right.
for you.
Right, that actually might work against you, right? I mean, it might work.
It actually does. I don't want to know everything because then I start second-guessing and go, well, did I already know that? Or then does my imagination go, I want to have absolutely zero information. I find that I'm the best that way. I prefer not to know anything. So
right.
I don't care if every single client in my life comes in under a fake name. I could care less. That would actually make me be happy. You know,
absolutely.
I do have people. There's one guy who changes his name every time he comes to me, and it's almost become a joke. I'm like, hey, Bob. He's like, no, it's Steve this time. I was like, okay, Steve. And then he goes, no, you know, and then I'll come in, and I'm like, wait, I thought I had a Jim. I was like, I thought you were Steve. He goes, no, I'm Jim today. I'm like, okay, Jim, whatever, man, whatever floats your boat.
Does he wear a fake mustache like the next time?
No. And he's like, but you still get it all right. I'm like, because it doesn't matter what your name is. It's just connecting to you. You're going to have to figure that out at some point.
That's amazing. I, you know, it's unbelievable how that whole process works. And it's mind-blowing because, you know, we're trained as in school with, you know, if it ain't real, if you can't touch it, you can't see it, it ain't real. You know, it's the good old materialistic science, you know, so it really goes against the paradigm of today. But, you know, like I said earlier, I believe it's changing, but, you know, still some of us that are still old school, and I'm trying not to reveal my age here, but it's a little tough to, you know, even though I completely believe it, it's still mind-blowing that people have that ability.
Yeah, and I do think people should be skeptical because there's a lot of people out there who don't have a gift, who don't know what they're doing, or people who have a gift that never mm-hmm. really fully developed it, and they harm people.
Right.
You know, so I think people do need to be skeptical, and they do need to be getting those very clear evidential facts so that they have no doubt. You know,
and you know what? That reminds me of something. I mean, a couple of times I've actually been one of the people that certify, have been a guest, a sitter for the Forever Family Foundation, and they go through a very rigorous process to
I know,
certify
I went
them.
Through it.
You went through it, you're one of the elites, and I was one of the sitters, and you get all kinds of hodgepodge there, you know, I was told stuff that, no way, heck. You know, and really, they're doing a great service because they're protecting people from. And you know what? I don't even think these people that want to be mediums, I don't think that they're trying to pull one over people's heads. I think they just truly believe that they are, and they, you know, they want to make some money off of it or go into business doing it, but they really don't have the ability. You know.
Well, but also they come from a very self-centered point of view of like, I want to do this because I think I find that a lot of them like, what's cool? It's all about me. Like, I want to do this.
Right.
They don't understand that it actually has nothing to do with you. It's about helping people.
Exactly.
It's about
That's
being
true.
The best you can be to help people. And
you
most
know,
people don't have that place like, oh, it's about, you know, fame or it's about money or, you know, or look how cool I am. And those are people who have completely missed the entire picture.
That is completely true in the art world as well. I'm a bit of an artist. I've been playing guitar for 45 years, and I consider myself the world's most okayest guitarist. That way. But I've and I've dealt with people, and I've had students because I teach that go into it for the wrong reason, and those are the worst students. When they go into it to look at me, I can sing like Lady Gaga or whatever. It's not the same as a person that really truly sings from the heart or plays from the heart. You know, so it's if you're in it for the wrong reasons, I think that's the number one impediment to being good at what you are.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Very fascinating. So, how, like, you know, we're getting towards the end of the show, so I just want to do a little bit of do a bit of house cleaning, not house cleaning, but a little bit of, I just want to remind people about the convention that's coming up from November 9th to 11th, and the secret code, everybody, if you want to get a $75 discount, is Heidi, H-E-I-D-I, 75, no space, capital H. So if you put that in your application for the secret code, you will get $75 discount. And it's been really a pleasure talking to you, Heidi. It's fantastic. You've taught me a lot tonight. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that I really took away from this is that the spirits will always come through. It's, are you ready for it? You know, like, is the spirit ready for it? And there's different levels of being ready for it. So that's something that opened up my mind a little bit today. I really appreciate that. And I'm sure our callers got a ton of information tonight. So I'm really, really happy. It was great having you on the show. And before we sign off, just tell everybody how the best way to get a hold of you to set up a session with you.
Oh, the best way to set up a session, I do all my booking online. If you go to HeidiTheMedium.com and click on the Book Now page, you can see my availability there and book in person or over the phone or Skype if you're out of the country. And it's really that simple.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And how far in advance are you booked out? I mean, if somebody wants to book a session.
I book 6 months in advance.
6 months. That's all the good mediums are about 6 months in advance. That's
I'm 6 months. I probably book more, but I only allow six on my site because I really just can't plan my life that far in advance.
Right.
I do my best, but it's hard with I got two small kids and I don't know where I'm going to be March 15th at 4 p.m. But that being said, all joking aside, I do allow 6 months in advance. I don't allow any further only because of it's not just hard. As much as it's hard for a client to, you know if they're going to be available at the time, it is for me. But I tend to book 6 months pretty solid in general. But I do get occasional cancellations, so I always tell people to look back on the site if you know, one pops up, but just to expect a little bit of a wait. And
fantastic. And what do? You book like half-hour sessions, one-hour sessions? Or
I do anything from 50 to 90. Most people, 15-minute sessions are more psychic sessions, 30 or 60. I believe everybody's pretty much fine with a 30 or 60-minute. Mm-hmm. I do keep the occasional 90-minute only because I do have some people who literally have so many people who are crossed over and so much stuff going on in their life. That they need that, but I don't recommend it. It's something that I only, really want for people who have a lot because, you don't really get to talk in my session. I talk the whole time. You just let me know yes or no. And so that's why I say people are always 30 or 60 is plenty of time.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Well, again, Heidi, thank you so much for sharing your insights. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you, and I'm sure our paths will cross again sometime in the future. And,
I hope so.
Have a lot of fun at the Medium Convention in Florida.
I will. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure to be here, and I hope everybody who's listening has a great night and hope to see you in November.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.